Thank you, Pastor Dave. I think after your little sermonette there on tithing, we could just say amen and go home, and we could have church. Anybody else with that with me? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's not what we're going to do, so sorry. Hey, welcome to Grace Community on a gorgeous sunny day. Don't you love summer? Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to speak on being critical today, and so that'll be part of it. I'll remember that. Have you enjoyed this summer of Psalms? I have. Before really, and I'll just be open and honest with you here. Before we really started this, I knew this was coming months ago, and so I started digging into the Psalms. I just kind of figured Psalms was kind of like a fluff in the middle of the Old Testament. It's kind of like lyrics to a song, and you know, it's kind of like that kind of thing. There is so much truth and so much wisdom and so much direction in these songs, as I have gone through and tried to pick which ones I want to speak on, I have learned so much. I absolutely love it. A lot of the Psalms are written by King David. King David had a real spot in his heart for music, and it ministered to him. How many of you guys like listening to music? It is a pathway to your soul. I am very, very fortunate that I work in a spot where we can control the music and we listen to Christian music all day. Now, for some of my young employees, they get sick of the repetition and they, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, it speaks to your heart. It speaks to your heart. And you're probably too young to remember this, but I can remember as a very, very small child a show on TV that was Queen for a Day. And okay, there's somebody else from my generation. Queen for a Day. My mom loved watching that. And what it did for, I can't remember the exact format of it, but basically by the end of the show, one lady out of a group was picked to be Queen for a Day, and she got a crown, and she got to be treated like a queen for a day. And all of her troubles and all of her cares were all taken care of for that day. Have you ever wished for a day like that? Have you ever wished for a life like that? That if I only could be king for a day, king for a life, if I was only rich, if I only won the lottery, if I only could make the NBA, if I only could in my genre become a professional cyclist and get paid to do what I love to do, which is never going to happen. So I riddled that out a long time ago. But this was David. David was king. David was king and had wealth. He had power. He had influence. He had servants. He had everything taken care of, but yet he still struggled. And yet he still had a tough time in life and what God was dealing with. Why? Because David is like you and me. David was a sinner, just like you and me. And we're in Psalms 25. I didn't have Pastor read through the whole thing. It's a short one. You can read through it at your leisure. Those of you that have a Bible with you or have a phone with you that has a Bible app, which is what I do now, and I am so spoiled. But I tell you what it does. It makes you lazy when you come to try to find a book in the Bible. Yeah, you know, I still got to do that once in a while. So anyway, we're in Psalms 25, and this is David as he's talking about. One of the commentaries had this highlighted, that this is a psalm of deliverance and forgiveness. Deliverance and forgiveness. Something that we all need every day as we walk through life. Even if you're a king. Even if you're a king and you have everything. Even if you're a king, even if you're a queen and you have everything. I have a queen at home. And I try to bow down to every want and need and desire of my queen at home. And my wife, my loving wife, and I fail. I fail in that, but that's a whole nother issue. So anyway, deliverance and forgiveness. Have you noticed that even the people with all the influence and all the power and all the notoriety still have haters? If you're a professional athlete, I've heard time and time again where they say, I don't read the paper, I don't read the internet, I don't read all the columns, because there are haters out there. No matter how well I'm doing, there's somebody that wants to tear me down. And it's the same way with if you think in your in the political world, you think of a president. Every president we have had has had lovers and haters, people that despise what he's doing and want somebody else, their guy didn't get in, or whatever it is. And I think the internet has created even more of a critical atmosphere. You can hide behind a, avatar. You can hide behind, you don't even have to put your real name, and you can put out whatever you want. And of course you found out that everything on the internet is absolutely true and right. Right? Everything, yeah. And so I think it has developed in us a definite flavor of being critical of others. And I struggle with that myself. I struggle with that myself, and I fight against it. And but we have to realize that that is part of the sin nature that we have. What happens when we're critical of somebody else? Man, it just makes us look better, doesn't it? Don't you know the people that you're most critical of are the ones that have the same weaknesses that you have? And but you're critical of them because you see it great big in them, and maybe you don't see it so big in you. And so David had his own set of issues as a king, as God's anointed. David was an adulterer. David was a manipulator, a deceiver, and ultimately a murderer. When you think, read the story. Read the story. If you think there's good stuff on TV, you need to read the Old Testament. Man, there's some great stories in there. But that is exactly what, and what the thing is, David realizes that in his life. As you read through the Psalms, he is constantly looking for help and constantly begging for forgiveness and deliverance in his life, and that's what this psalm is about. And so I picked out three kind of baseline principles out of this psalm. And the first one comes from the first couple of verses in here in Psalm 25. It says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me." So who do you put your trust in? Who do you put your trust in? Pastor talked just a little bit here when he opened here about money. Do you put your trust in life in your money? If I only had this amount of money, then I would be good. If I only had this much, then I would be fine. Do you know what happens? The more money you get, the more you want. That is that greed that is within you. How about do you put your trust in the government? Do you put your trust in Social Security? Do you put your trust in the armed forces? Do you put your trust in people? Do you put your trust in people? Ouch. You know what's going to happen? People are going to let you down. Why? Because they're sinners just like you and just like me. We're all sinners, and we're all going to let other people down. Do you put your trust in the position that you have at work? Do you put your trust in your faith in the position that you have in at work? How about do you put your trust in your health? Oh, I'm healthy and I'm strong. I can do whatever. Do you know what can happen tomorrow? You don't know what can happen tomorrow. That's just it. And let me tell you, as you pass a certain age, you just don't heal as fast as you used to. I have really found that out. And things just happen that I have no control over in my health. And so what does the word say? The word says also in Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." We have to come to a point where the only person we realize, the only thing that we can trust in is God. The only thing that we can have our trust in is God. If you look on your money that you have so much trust in, what does it say on your money? "In God we trust. All others must pay cash." Have you ever seen that sign before? You know, but that is absolutely true. That we have to come to the point where we understand that my ways are not God's ways. That my ways are not God's ways. Matthew 22:37 says, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Everything within us, that's who we need to trust. Now, does that mean if I put my trust in God, that everything from there is going to be rosy and perfect, and life is just going to be simple and comfortable and happy. No, absolutely not. You know why? Because we are not in heaven yet. Do you realize that? This is not heaven. This is not our reward. Our reward comes at the end of our life. It is not here. It is not now. And so don't think that if I put my trust in God that just everything is going to be happy. Bad things still happen, but you know what God promises? God promises, I will walk with you through everything that happens in your life. And I will be side by side. I will have your back. God says, I will have your back. Now, that can be comforting, and it can also be a little scary, because God is not like a visible thing that is standing right here beside you that you can think, okay, I got my arm around. But I tell you what, I have felt God's arms around me. I have felt God's soft presence around me, his security around me. And normally when that is when in times of trouble, in times of despair, in times when heartache and hard things have come, I turn and I envision it in my mind's eye, just like I do when one of my granddaughters has an owie and smashes her finger or steps on a bee or does something like that and comes running to me and wants to crawl up onto my lap crying. And I can put my arms around her and just that comfort and just comfort her. And that's what God wants to do for you. But he can't do that if you don't put your trust in him. If your trust is in money, that can be gone tomorrow. How many of you had a big fat IRA, a big fat savings plan in 2007, and in 2008, you had half of what you had under nothing to do with your doing? How about the value on your home? In 2007, looked pretty good. My trust and my financial security is in my house. Next year, you realized, yikes, I'm underwater. You know what that means is I owe more on my house than what it's worth. And so that security and that trust from everything on this world can be pulled out from underneath you in a second. But God says, I will be there for you. I will be there for you, and I will bring you comfort. And he will bring you comfort in a couple of ways, not only in that divine presence with that arm around you and that soft touch that he has that can comfort your heart. He will bring other believers around you that have experienced that and that are willing to be a part of your life in times of trouble and in times of heartache. And so we have a responsibility on where we put our trust. If you put your trust in money and you think, I can't afford to tithe, just be happy that God doesn't say, give me 90% and live on 10. Think about that. Swallow that when you go home. Let me think about that when you go home. And so where is your trust today? Is your trust in your car? Hey, I bought a new car. We haven't bought a new car. My wife's driving a 10-year-old car. And it's my trust is in that, and I'm going to drive forever, and it's never going to break down. Well, that's not going to happen. Ask Steve back there. That's not going to happen. Steve gets to be a hero time and time and time and time and time again because he fixes those cars that break down. So if you put your trust in earthly things, you are going to be disappointed, and you are going to be damaged, and it is going to hurt. We need to put our trust in God, that God is going to see us through whatever. God's not going to grow my hair back. But, you know, be happy if he did. God's not going to grow my hair back, but God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me, if in no other way, for when I will leave this earth and go on for my reward. And so, I mean, that to some of you, that's just like, oh, that's so simple. That's a baseline. I can understand that. Yeah. But on other people, trust is the opposite of control. Trust is the opposite of control. How many of you have a personality that likes to be controlling? Okay, absolutely. Trust is a hard thing for us. It is a hard thing for us that like to be in control and to like to have things a certain way and to be in control. If I was let loose and was able to live like my sin nature wanted me to live, my wife, she would kick me and hit me with loving kindness and to try to shape me back in, because I am by nature, I love things controlled and I love things orderly and I love this. My wife is like the opposite of that, global. I call it global. She can just, she can just do all these things all at once and just kind of just merge all these things together and is successful in doing all that. Me, I'm compartmentalized. Boom, 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 boom. I'm in control. And when those two worlds clash, sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's not pretty. But it's hard for us to have that have control issues to have trust in God. But I tell you what, there is so much security and there is so much peace in that when you come to that point and you can understand that. There is so much peace in that. Because I know, why is that? Because I know my ways are going to fail eventually. My ways are going to fail. God's ways are not, and my ways are going to fail. And if I can get that in my brain, if I can get that in my brain. And so the second part of this is from the same Psalms, is down in verse 4 and 5. Talks about to learn his ways. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day. Learn his ways. How do you learn God's ways? How do you learn about God? How do you learn about anything? If I wanted to be, since I picked on Steve earlier, if I wanted to be a mechanic and I wanted to help Steve, and tomorrow I'm going to be a mechanic, okay? And Steve's got a pile of cars out of his house. I don't know that for sure, but every time I go out there, he's got a pile of cars out for his house, okay? So, and some of them are mine. We have like five in our family, and so usually one of them is out there. But if he said, okay, if I go out and say, hey, Steve, tomorrow I'm going to come help you. I'm going to be a mechanic, and I'm going to fix this car. And he's going to say, you know what he's going to say? Well, do you know what's the matter with it? No, but I'm going to claim today I'm a mechanic. I'm going to claim today I'm a mechanic, and I'm going to let loose on Barb's car. Just because Barb's sitting here in the first one I saw. What's Barb going to say? You're not touching my car. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. And that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. So how do we learn about God's ways? Well, pretty simple. We have to be open for it, first of all. You need to start your day every morning with this prayer or with this thought. God, help me to be aware of what you want me to learn today. God, help me to be open to what you're going to bring forth to me, God, and reveal to me something today that I can learn about you. I had a friend telling me that he's going to, he's doing these parenting classes that he's going through, and this particular individual has a hard time sitting still, which I can totally relate to. 3 hours a night. How many nights in a row? He told me he had to go like four nights in a row. And I told him, man, that's got to be tough. That's a long time. 3 hours is a long time. And I said, but I have learned. This is what I have learned. This is a younger guy, so I get to impart just a little shot in once in a while. I have learned through something like this, pick one thing out of each night that you think you can, that was significant to you and that you can learn and that you can deposit and you can learn from. Because in all seriousness, is that the word? In truth, that's about all I will retain out of 3 hours is one nugget. If I don't make an issue to retain that one nugget, you know how much of those 3 hours I will retain? Probably about zero. And that's just the way my brain works. I don't know about yours, but that's the way my brain works. And so ask God to reveal to you today what he wants you to learn and to be open for it and to prepare your heart for it, to be ready to have interaction with others. I have a job with an opportunity to interact with a lot of people every day. A lot of times, because I'm this control guy and I have my list of things I want to do, that I don't take the time that I need to. And just by happenstance, I had this fellow come up this last week and ordered a pound of bacon, one small thing, and I got his bacon and for him, and he was like the next generation, older than I am. And our conversation started with something like, I thanked him for coming in, thanks for this, and was ready to move on. And he said something like, I can't remember exactly, but it was like, don't work too hard today. And I smiled at him, and he says, I worked a lot of years, and I sacrificed a lot. And he started to tell me what he did. And he worked for, back in the day, in the 60s, during the Cold War, he worked for NASA. And he worked on the, Rick can probably tell you, the was it the X-15? Anyway, we were in the race with the Russians in the Cold War. And he said, there were days I worked around the clock because that's what I did. He was a machinist, and he was working on this supersonic fighter, and he was telling me all about these things and how much he worked and how long he was gone and all this. And I asked him, I said, did you raise a family during that time? And he looked at me and smiled and says, I didn't, but my wife did. And he says, I'm trying to make up for it every day right now. He said, I was gone so much, and I look back now at, you know, some of the accomplishments. I couldn't tell her what I was doing because back then it was all secretive. I couldn't tell her the things I was working on. I just told her it was important. And he says, now I'm making it up day by day by day. And so when he left, and I thanked him for his service, and I thanked him for all he had done, and he's just smiling. He's this happy, happy guy now. And I got to thinking, man, I can learn from that. I can learn from that to the point of I don't have to always be about the next task. I don't always have to be about the next thing I have to do. I need to be open and willing to interact with people and be open and willing to move in and be a part of people's lives. You know, there's only one person that you can change. There's only one person that you can change and control, and that's yourself. There's only one person. You can't control your husband. You can't control your wife. You can't control your boss. You can't control your pastor. You can't control anybody. All you can do is control you and how God works in your life. And so how do we need to constantly be trying to learn more about God's ways. A couple of ways. One is you're here on a Sunday morning. You're here on a Sunday morning, listen to a butcher boy ramble on. Okay, that's one way. Another way is to fill your head with good things. Don't just fill your head with entertainment all the time. Man, there is with, you know, this internet thing, you know, there is so much good stuff out there. So much good stuff out there. If you have not hooked up with, okay, everybody at once, I couldn't understand. Right Now Media, is that Right Now Media, which we are part and which we sponsor, give you the ability to get on? There is so much teaching out there. Good stuff. Take you 20 minutes, take you 30 minutes to sit through something. I mean, that's a half-hour show without commercials, right? Okay? I mean, how much time do you sit in front of the TV, and how much time do you spend learning God's ways? In God's Word. In God's Word, just learning and just reading, just letting it absorb, letting it soak in you, letting it soak. We learn by what is modeled around us. We learn by what is the actions of people that we see around us. You know the scary part of that? 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do you realize the world's view on Christianity is shaped by the experiences they have had with Christians? The world's view on Christianity is shaped by the experiences they have with Christians. What's the world's view on Christianity right now? Kind of scary. It's kind of scary. They view us as hate mongers. They view us as legalistic. They view us as, I could just go through this list. I could go through this list. And what should we be? The total opposite of that. The total opposite of that. Willing to love the unlovable. Willing to forgive when we've been hurt. Willing to help where there's a need without expectations of something back for us. Why? Because that's what God has done for us. That's what God has done for you. Once you learn and understand and accept His grace and forgiveness and mercy on your life, we have a responsibility to give it to others. If we don't, we just mock what Jesus did on the cross. We just slap Him in the face. Think about that. Think about that. The forgiveness that God has given you for your sins in your past and the mercy, the price that was paid for it. And then if you accept that and then if you just hang on to it and you don't show it to anybody else and you don't be a part of the world of it with anybody else, what are you going to look like? You're going to look like hate mongers. You're going to look like unhappy people. You ever seen that portrayed in the cinema, in the movies? Christians as the unhappy, stern, mad people all the time. Man, that's not what we should be. That is not what we should be whatsoever. We have to be continually learning. And sometimes that means we need to retrain things that we have learned, things, experiences that we have done that have shaped our life. I have a friend that I kind of made a couple years ago, kind of first came aware of him a couple years ago. It was a guy in our bike club, and he didn't ride with the same circle of guys that I ride with, but I would see him like at the start of rides, and I'd see him at a couple meetings. And the guy was big. I mean, big. And not only overweight, but he's a big guy. I mean, he's big-framed fella. And I would see him at the start of a ride, and basically that was the only time I would see him. And his name's Chris, Chris Hoy. If you Google him and you look up, if you go on my Facebook page and look up, I shared his story. 3 years ago, he weighed 400+ pounds. 400+ pounds. He's lost 186 pounds in those 3 years. What he has done is he said, I had to retrain the way that I thought about food. And this is just one issue in his life, and you can parallel this with a lot of different issues in your own life. He said, I never thought or made it about there was a choice to eat something. I just ate it all the time. I ate it without thought. And he says, I finally came to the realization when his body got huge obese. He said, I had to come to the realization that I needed to do something, as I was lining up all these different health problems that I had that were going to be the death of me. And he said, so I made a decision to try to gain back my health. And he said, I started with an app on my phone that basically counted my calories. And he said, I started having to make choices and retrain the way I thought about food and retrain the way I thought about those things in life that were important to me. And he said, I started riding my bike. He said, and I just can't envision when I see the picture of him just starting. He has a before picture and a current picture because he says it's not after because I still want to lose about another 30-some pounds. And he got with a doctor and he got the whole thing. But anyway, I can't imagine this guy even being able to stay up on any kind of a bike. He said, but I started riding 3 miles a day in my neighborhood and it just about killed me. He said, every contact point I had with that bike was screaming at me. So you can figure out what that means. And he said, but I was determined. I was going to learn something new, and he said it was a revelation in my life. I had to retrain and rethink what I was doing. Yesterday he did his first ever century, 100 miles on a bike for a diabetes association, diabetes fundraiser that he did, and the guy is a beast now. I mean a beast as a cycling guy. I rode with him a couple of weeks ago, and he was out front just plowing along in a line of us, And I'm thinking, this is the same dude that 2 years ago I'd never see on a ride. And so I pulled out and I went up around front and I got up front to him, went by and I said, Chris, man, you're a beast. You are doing great. He's all, thanks. I got a long ways to go. And he looked, I'm just trying to keep my heart rate up. I mean, he had definite designs on what he was wanting to do to retrain his mind about how he thinks. And it was obvious the results of it. Now, why did I tell you that whole story? I told you that story because we can retrain the way we think about the sin in our life. We have that choice. We have the choice to change. We have the choice to change through the grace and mercy and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once we realize that, and once we set a pattern to change the way we think, what we put into our mind, and then how we act towards others. We have that ability to do that. We have that choice to do that. Just like Chris had a choice. He says, now I have to make choices if I'm going to have a piece of pizza at lunchtime. I have to make a choice that I know what I can't eat tonight. So I make choices. He said, I still eat pizza. I still have an occasional frosty adult beverage. He said, but I have to make choices about what I'm going to do later and what's going to happen to balance that out. So we need to make choices in our Christian life. We need to make choices in wanting to learn about God. We need to make choices in how we interact with people and how we show that love and that mercy. And it will, if you are diligent with that, there will be an obvious change in your life, just like there was with Chris, with his obvious ability, obvious change in his physical appearance. There will be an obvious change in the way that you relate to people if you allow God to work in your life and you learn his ways. Now would be an appropriate time. Thank you. Thank you, Grandpa. Now would be an appropriate. I can always bank on my father-in-law. I always bank on my father-in-law for an amen. That would be an appropriate time for an amen in your life. Now, I had the opportunity, and maybe we'll just go on to the next. We'll go on to the next slide, or next slide. We'll go on to the next point in this. Let me read the scripture first here. Proverbs 25:7 out of this. And this is David. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Do not be defined by the sins of your past. Do not let that be who you are. David didn't want his legacy to be adulterer, murderer, deception. That's not what he wanted his legacy to be. David wanted to learn and to show God's forgiveness to others by accepting that forgiveness that God had for him. Now, does that mean that you should never tell your story? Absolutely not. Your story in your life is an important, powerful tool. I hadn't shared my story for quite a while. I had the opportunity a couple weeks ago, sitting watching TV with my wife. My son hangs out with a buddy of his that I've just grown to love. He's a goofball dude. Grown to love him. He's not here this morning, is he, Stephen? Make sure. Okay. He's been here once, so I don't tell that. And doesn't believe in God, really doesn't believe the whole thing. And my son has befriended him and been a part of his life for, man, probably close to 2 years, maybe. Year and a half, something like that. Stephen, he doesn't know. Probably close to that. Hangs out at our house all the time. Spends the night at our house all the time. You know how I can tell? I'm usually the first one up. His pair of shoes will be down at the bottom of the stairs. This morning I went up. Oh! I won't say his name. Oh, so-and-so is here because there's his shoes. You know, respectful of our new carpet, takes his shoes off. Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks ago. Stephen popped in, and my wife and I were watching TV, and this gentleman was with him, this guy was with him, and he says, and one day, my dad's going to tell you his story, and you're going to see how God's worked in his life. And I was like, huh? you know, don't bother me. I'm watching 24 or whatever I was watching. You know, don't bother me. Don't bother me. And he looked at me and he looked at me and Stephen said, well, I guess not now, huh? And you know, I was like, no, not now, not now. Well, then it was a couple of weeks later. So I don't know the time frame. Stephen came in and asked me. Therese was gone. Stephen came in and asked me. He says, you want to tell so-and-so your story? And I said, yeah, sure. Sure. And so I immediately, what do you do at that point? If you have any brains at all, oh, God help me. In my head, God help me put my thoughts in order. God help me say what he needs to hear. I mean, I start praying because I wanted to reveal to him what God has done in my life. This is how powerful, this is what your story is. And I hadn't shared mine in a while, vocally. Partly because I'm, you know, fairly ashamed of some of the sins of my youth, okay? And then my son was trying to find a good spot to sit. He said, I don't know if I want to sit over here. I want to sit because I haven't heard all of this. I want to sit over here, you know. And so got a good spot. And, you know, I just shared who I was before I met Jesus. Who I was before I met Jesus and who I'm trying to be now after I've met Jesus. And my wife came in and sat down. And my wife is like the court reporter who kind of like corrects everything as you go along. You know what I mean? And so I had to look over her a couple times. And that's right. Yeah, that's right. She says, well, you know, I've never even heard that part. I shared something I'd never even told my wife before. you know, but there is power in that. And so I'm not telling you, don't do that. What I'm telling you is, don't let that define who you are in Christ. Because it says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I'm not that guy I used to be. Now, there's parts of me that followed me in from my BC days to my current days, before Christ to my current days. There's parts that followed me in. There's parts of things that God did in my life that was instantaneous. And I know why he did that, because he wanted to prove to me that he was real. And there were some things that I overcame in my life that were instantaneous at the time. And there's stuff that's still there now that I work on every single day. But do not be defined on who you are. Have you ever heard the term, if you're a golfer, you've heard the term a mulligan, a do-over, right? In baseball, you strike out, 1, 2, 3 strikes, and you're out, okay? A professional baseball player is considered to be very, very good if he can get a hit 3 times out of 10. So what does he do the other 7 times? Not get a hit. We are able in life to continually get do-overs from God, to continually get new opportunities to serve him, because he is a loving and forgiving and merciful creator that we serve. The danger of letting your past define who you are today is that people will not see a change in you, and people will mark who you are. Now, I found a little video that I am going to show as Andrew gets ready, and there was one of these others that I tried to find something that would hang on. Everybody's going to look, because I get sidetracked myself here. We need to be aware of what our sin set is. You know what I mean by sin set? You ever hear, I have a skill set? My skill set is this, things I have learned. Well, you need to be aware of what your sin set is. What is your particular bents in your life? The things that challenge you that you know that God does not want in your life, that he wants to change. And so you need to be aware of that. You need to be aware of what's going on, and you need to be able to work on that and not be labeled as a specific thing. And so I tried to find out one of those sin sets. One of those sin sets I see is rage. And I thought, you know what? I see a lot of road rage. And so I Googled road rage on YouTube and started watching. Then I Googled cyclists road rage, cars that were, and drivers. I watched it for like an hour. I was scared to death to get back on my bike after watching that. Along with it, I couldn't have shared any one of them because of the language that was involved in every one of those, of the people that got into these issues over nothing. Now, this is going to touch your heart. If not, you're totally. But this is what can happen if you label yourself and let yourself be labeled and not make a change. Because I had certain views that I'll share with you after this. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? I'm Kobe from Model Pranksters.
And I'm Justin.
Today we're in New York City. We're going to go on the streets and find 2 homeless people, put them up to an arm wrestle. The winner gets $100. Let's see what happens.
Hey, dude. How are you doing? How's your day?
Good afternoon.
How's it?
You didn't get so much money today.
Yeah, I'm doing what I can. Working Friday club job.
It's like my little life.
Slow day today?
Yes, sir.
What do you think if, would you want to be part of a video where you can win $100?
Yes, sir.
Maybe buy pants or something.
Like
you never know.
New pair of pants.
New pair. Kobe, what's your name?
Aaron.
Write your name.
Aaron.
Hop right up. We got you. Let's go. This could help you out a lot. Homeless. I have no family. I live on the streets. God bless. How are you? Dude? How are you today?
I'm pretty crappy.
Hi, my name is Kobe.
Robert.
Is it a good day today or what?
Pretty crappy, man.
Pretty crappy.
We're doing a video and you could possibly win $100. You want to do that today?
Check it out. It probably could help you out. You never know. You could win. Okay, come with us. All right, this way. Yeah.
And then there's other days, man, where I just make $6 a day. I mean,
$6 a day. Ooh, man. It's tough.
It's seriously tough.
So we brought you guys here today. You have no clue what's going on, right? You just know you can win $100.
Yeah.
What's going on is actually, you guys are going to be arm wrestling each other. Whoever wins takes all the money. Whoever doesn't win goes home empty-handed. You guys ready for this?
Do it.
All right.
All right. But wait, there's a catch though, because even the loser is going to get $50.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we want a straight fight, clean, just no biting, no punching, straight arms. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Oh, Aaron, Robert Scott, he's got a lead on this one. Robert going, Robert's going. Aaron's coming back at it. Look at this. This is intense. Getting there, he's going, and he wins. Takes the money, man. So like I promised, Aaron, $100 for you. Exactly what we said. Hope that goes somewhere with that.
I'm falling get some of my new set of pants. Robert, I know how it is, man. Working tough, no harm, no fall. I work with Mighty Cup
Fair Square, man.
Come on, no harm, no fall. Feed the needy, not the greedy, bro. That's how that works. Trust what I'm telling you. That's my rule, bro.
Wow, you guys don't even know each other, right? No. This is like one of the most inspirational things I've ever seen, because you guys, you just won $100, you gave it to him, you don't even know him, and you were helping him when you don't even have a lot yourself. Honestly, you guys are amazing. Like, I do have another 100, I want to give you another $100 bill. Get more clothes, get something, take it, dude. You're really like amazing, man.
I hope you get.
Just help yourself out, man, all right? Robert, you too.
Take care, all right?
Get yourself something to eat. Go stay in a hotel or something, whatever you need to do, all right? Take care, guys. You guys are great.
Stay safe, guys.
Stay safe.
But the nicest thing that black guy did that you wouldn't find very, just very rare, the black guy showed love. Negotiate. I think you should take. You know what? That's really good. Even though the white guy lost, but they both won.
They both won at the end. That's what that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like, he didn't have any money himself, and he gave him a $50 bill.
Exactly. Off the top.
Off the top.
Great. Because we usually rarely see that. That was the point for the black minority to be homeless. That shows very, very
caring.
Caring,
hope for the world. Like,
caring, love, enthusiasm, and guess what? They was both winners.
So, hey, we're gonna close in just a sec, Jay. So go ahead and get yourself prepared here. You know. Maybe you had, to me, that was an excellent example of how you can stereotype and label people. And you have the opportunity every day to break that stereotype in yourself by showing God's love, God's mercy to others. When you first started that, when that video first started and I watched it, I'm thinking, uh-oh, where's this going? This is kind of weird. This is kind of odd. You know, I'm thinking this could really be bad. And let me preface that with this. I don't know anything about those guys. If you follow any of their other stuff, there could be some horrendous stuff on there. That's a disclaimer. I have no idea. I just saw this one. And so I don't think that's what they had in mind. I don't think they foresaw that happening. Why? Because that's different than what the label was. We have the opportunity every day to show God's love and show God's mercy and show God's forgiveness and to break out of our past, to break out of that mold of things that we have learned by bad experiences in our life, by the way maybe parents treated us, maybe the way bosses treated us, school teachers or whatever, terrible things that were maybe said to you in your life. Remember, only you can change you through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed to cover our sins. And so continually press on to learn God's ways. Continually to press on to have God work in your life in your particular sin set, whatever that is. We're going to finish with a song, so whatever Jay's got in store. God, we're just so grateful. God, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son down to cover our sins, to die on a cross for us, by the shedding of his blood for redemption in our lives. And God, just help us not to keep that to ourselves, God. but help us to show what that looks like in a real sense to others. God, that may we be willing to take a moment and share our lives, Lord God. And God, help us to be aware of those things in our life that you want us to change, that you want us to work on. God, things that maybe we're blind to, but God, just work in our hearts. God, may we become more and more transferred to the love of your Son. And God, we just thank you that you give us that opportunity every day, God. Even when we fail, even when we strike out, God, that we give a chance to come back up to bat again for you. Lord God, we just thank you for who you are, God, and I just pray today that we would go and show your love today as we go out these doors. God, we just thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, don't forget, come and hang out at Amber's house tonight, and let's worship God together in a nice outdoor setting.